Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Chicks Talking Footy. We've got Danae Gibson is normally on the panel with me every week, but she's in a much warmer place called Perth.
Leave of absence, that's
she's,
okay.
Yeah, she's she's comforting her team.
So, the weather's so amazing here in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's right. The only good thing about winter is the football. Yeah. So I have Susanna Motti. I feel funny calling you Susanna.
One or the other. Or both.
Yeah,
well.
I can't say Susanna Motti, can I? No. Motti. And I've got Rachel Hopkins.
Hello.
Hoppy.
So we've got two Hawks and a Bomber on the panel tonight. It's been kind of nice having a big rotation of the girls.
Hasn't it just?
Some of you had never met until a couple of weeks ago, so yeah, now you're getting to do some radio with each other. All right, so on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about highlights of round 15, our third bye round, so we're looking forward to a full nine games next week.
Yes.
And we're also going to talk about that cheeky banner from the Western Bulldogs up in Sydney. We'll talk about how Nissan has pulled their sponsorship from the football show due to Sam Newman opening his big mouth again. And we're also going to talk about the multicultural round and a bit of an update on the Women's League. And then we'll preview round 16. So we've got a lot to get through in the next half an hour. But, Motti, what's some of the highlights of round 15?
There were quite a few, actually. Like, just, there was Jack Silvani, probably, if you want to one highlight.
Debuting?
Yeah, debuting. I think it's a great story. Third generation. I can't think of another family that have another third.
Yeah, we were trying to think of one before we came on the radio, and we can't.
The Rioli's haven't quite done that, have they? They've had a few generations, but not father, son, son.
Not uncles. And did you see he had the long sleeves?
He did.
Like, old school. Like Sauce. I don't know if
I don't know why more people don't do that. It's freezing.
I know.
Yeah, Jimmy Hurd used to do that. He was the only one at Essendon that I can recall.
Fletcher?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Made that up.
No. No, but so there were a couple, I don't know, there were a couple of good games. Essendon played a good quarter. I text Fee about 5 minutes in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 12-0 to the Bombers. I'm like, they're definitely going to win.
It's like when they played Hawthorn the first 6 minutes, you guys are winning.
Yeah, yeah. So
we'll call it the West Coast Eagles comeback.
Sure. The West Coast were really good. Essendon were great in the first quarter. They were sort of semi-competitive in the second, and then they were very poor, I'll say, in the last half. But West Coast were great, really good.
Sad about Zaharaka's getting a week.
Yes.
For the punch. One of the issues was that the reaction or the fact that the young boy went off, I think he was quite unwell.
Spewing, do you mean?
Yes, there it is.
trying to be a bit more clear.
When you're vomiting coming off the footy field, something's not right.
But that's why he got a week instead of a fine. It's back to this inconsistency of the tribunal.
So whereas I can't remember the player, but it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, wasn't it, that someone did a very blatant punch. I feel like it was a Gold Coast player, but I might be wrong. In front of the umpire, like 2 feet from the umpire, and it wasn't reported.
Because there was no repercussion from the action. So that I think is the issue. I think that's why the tribunal made the decision to give Zaharakis a week.
Right.
And that's bringing up a whole Pandora's box of issues regarding, once again, the tribunal and its lack of inconsistency.
Mm. And my gripe about you have to plead guilty even perhaps when you feel you're innocent. Anyway.
Have to do anything.
Well, you know how you have to – basically they can fine you or suspend you.
Yeah.
And if you feel that you're actually innocent and it's been a wrong decision, if you appeal, you actually risk getting more weeks.
Oh, getting the 2 weeks or the
Yes. And I think that's – I don't think that's fair. If you genuinely feel you're innocent, you should be able to appeal.
Then appeal.
And that be it.
But then appeal.
And like,
but then you risk getting another week, so you won't.
But then you have to take that risk. If you are so certain that you're innocent, then you need to take that risk. But because you need to reward people
for
not taking up the time and the trouble and the cost of the tribunal.
Yeah, anyway.
But I'm leaning more towards Fee because I think that's right. If you, like I know Worsfold said, and we're keeping to use this example, but he said, well, you know, we would have appealed, but we don't want to risk 2 weeks. So is that the right thing? Are they only not appealing?
Yeah, because it puts people off appealing even though they might be innocent.
Well, I think it's also important to appeal because it might actually start to put in place some precedent. And unfortunately, there may be some players who do have to sacrifice 1 or 2 weeks, but it might actually start to have some sort of better control of understanding of the tribunal.
Anyway, speaking of Pandora's box,
rude.
Power beat Tigers in Adelaide.
Yawn.
Yeah. Yawn. Suns beat the Saints, deflating them after the upset against Geelong the week before. So,
but and they were deflated. I watched a lot of that game.
They must have been exhausted, though, after the game last week. St Kilda.
Mm. Well, they had the 2-hour flight, obviously, up to the Gold Coast as well. I mean, that'd sap anyone.
I don't know. I always find that funny. You're sitting on an aeroplane doing nothing for 2 hours when you're tired. but the Suns are playing a lot better.
They are. And yeah, I sort of watched through it and, like, they've got Peter Wright, 2-metre Peter, as the commentators call him. And they've just got players on every line that are good.
Yeah,
and or good or better than. And Jagger O'Mara was back for his first game in 18 months and he was very good. Very good.
So they're a different team than they were a few weeks ago.
Little Gadge was great, you know, so they do have very good players. So we also know that in that game that Paddy McCartan got knocked out for the third time this year and they're going to go very, very gently with him because that's too much for a young man.
We wonder how much they're risking with players when they're concussed.
Yeah, that's right.
The thriller of the round was the Bulldogs-Sydney game. I actually watched that at the pub with a few people.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Absolutely. And in Sydney as well.
Yeah, beating Sydney at the SCG is always a feat. So,
I thought Sydney was going to win, hands down. Well done to the Bulldogs.
And they just kept coming back, didn't they?
They did.
They just, you'd think, okay, Sydney's got them now, and they came back. Yeah. It was amazing.
The third quarter, though, the Bulldogs just ran over them.
They did.
It was amazing.
Didn't they? They ran in waves, and they were just pulling the ball out. But how about old Buddy in the last? He was fantastic.
Yeah, whatever.
Come on. This is a professional program.
It is a professional. We've got to remove our emotions.
No.
Yeah, we never get emotional about the game.
Yeah, he was very good. Very good.
He kicked five and could have kicked more if he had been a bit more accurate.
whatever.
But Johannesson kicking that winning goal, it was so exciting. It was 30 seconds to go.
Do you think he called for it?
I think he was making space for it.
Because who was it who kicked it to him? Oh, that's annoying. Can't remember. But he was in a reasonably good position to kick a goal and then all of a sudden he kicked. All of a sudden he passed it to Johannesson. I was thinking, oh, shit.
Yeah, because he ran backwards, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just grabbed it. It was a decent mark because it was contested.
Yes, it was.
So, anyway, he kicked it and it was very, very exciting.
It was his first game back since round four,
Johannesson
as well.
Yeah, and he didn't go through the VFL. He played a very good game.
Yeah, straight in, so...
Collingwood beat the Blues, very low-scoring game. I think they both kicked, it was under 60
8
points.
8-7,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, something
so
under 60
and,
points.
And back to Silvani, he did well, 15 disposals, one behind. Crowd went mental every time he touched the ball. Fantastic.
So do you think enough to get a second game?
I think
he'll be picked tomorrow?
He looks 7. I thought, why is there a Oz kick child on the ground? Apparently that was Silvani.
And if you see, exactly the photos of him when he was little.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed much, has he?
I think he must be 18. 18, 19? It's very young.
Now, the couple of things that happened outside of the games this week, I don't know if you saw the Western Bulldogs banner at the Sydney game. Speaking of which.
I didn't, but I did. I have seen it now. Hysterical.
It was something like, we're going to win this game and celebrate till late or until 8 when all your pubs will be shut. Yeah. Something like that.
So Danny McGinlay writes them, so he'll be thrilled how you just mangled it then.
Yeah, I probably did mangle it, but it was such a dig at the Sydney lockout laws. I thought it was great.
So Danny's a comedian and does stand up and he writes a lot of stuff. So he's been doing them for about a year. I bumped into him the other day and he said... I said, oh, God, that was funny that you wrote. And he goes, well, whatever happened, anytime that I do one, they just bring it up all again. And so he said, I just keep getting all this press about it.
I must say there was one round four, the Carlton game. It's a night game that explains the mid-strength Carlton.
Yeah. He's very funny, isn't he?
That's good.
That is very clever.
Yeah.
He's a funny, Well, good on Danny.
Very good, very good. Also, We mentioned a couple of weeks ago after the Eddie McGuire, what's it called, Dunkgate saga, Sam Newman came out and said a whole lot of I think really stupid things about Carolyn Wilson. And as a result, Nissan have pulled their sponsorship from the footy show.
Do you think it was motivated by his relationship with Eddie or by his hatred of Caroline? Because he has been very disrespectful to her in the past.
Look, it's always hard to tell.
Did you watch it?
I did, and I don't watch the footy show. But
I went and watched it just online, just that bit. And in fact, Rebecca Madden spoke really well.
I was actually going to ask.
She spoke really well about it, but I watched them in isolation. So I watched her speak and I watched Sam's piece. And he started off and you're thinking, oh, he's trying to make an argument.
Albeit. We'll call
it
that.
And then he just went off. It just went, whoa, someone should be in that studio with a saying stop.
Yeah.
He then started to talk about the people that have written it up and I imagine thinking was the Outer Sanctum and Erin O'Reilly, the blogger. Mm. He directed them, calling them excretants.
Yeah, I think he was directing it to them too.
Yeah, because he talked about their second tier media outlets who have read that. So he's now.
Well, I say good on you, Outer Sanctum and Erin Riley, because you have stirred things up in a very good way, I think.
Yep, very good.
And speaking of which, we're going to be broadcasting at the Pride Match this year on August the 13th, and the Outer Sanctum girls are going to be joining us for part of that broadcast. So we're very excited to have them on board.
Where is it?
And it's at Etihad Stadium. It's a game on August the 13th between St Kilda and Sydney. And we're actually going to be broadcasting inside Etihad.
Inside.
I've just found out.
Wow.
So we're very excited about that. I think it's a great opportunity for...
And a great match.
A great match for the Chicks Talking Footy. Now, you can also message in, let us know your thoughts about anything we're discussing on the show, 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. When we come back, we're going to be talking about... You might have a question. Moddy will answer it.
Yes.
We'll be talking.
I won't.
Rachel will Google it. Moddy will already know it. We're going to be talking multicultural round and the diversity program in the AFL and a bit of an update on the Women's League coming up next on Chicks Talking Footy, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Here we are. We've got Fiona Newton, myself, Moddy and Rachel on the panel tonight. Chicks Talking Footy. We love talking footy.
We love it.
Footy-obsessed chicks. And Danae Gibson, who's our regular panellist here, is in the sunny state of WA.
Lucky thing.
Lucky thing. So
she down at training or anything, do you think? She's down with the Purples at training?
She'll be giving them a pep talk, I think, knowing Danae.
Well, she's quite tall. I mean, they have a lot of injuries. She could perhaps play or at least train with them.
I'm sure she'd love to do that. Yeah. Hopefully she's enjoying her time over there anyway. She'll be back next week. I'm away next week. So
good on you.
I usually, every time I'm away, Hawthorn lose. So hopefully that doesn't happen this Saturday. Anyway, multicultural round's coming up this week.
Yes, very exciting.
Celebrating diversity in the AFL. So we've got players that are all represented from Fiji, Italy, Lebanon, Greece, Sudan, Taiwan.
America.
Speaking of diverse, East Timor, South Africa, China, Zimbabwe. So we've got a lot of players from a lot of different
backgrounds. A rich tapestry, if you will.
A rich tapestry, if you will.
I like the fact that what they're doing is they're taking it out and promoting it to these different communities, one, to get them as supporters, but potentially as players or administrators or what, and just broadening it out, which I think is great.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's the National Australia Bank that does there's somebody who does a round where I think they have commentators from all different backgrounds.
Yeah, this one.
Is this one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have.
It's sponsored by Australia Post, I think.
Australia Post.
So they're giving away free tickets to two different people as well.
Let me just shuffle across to my papers, old-fashioned wise.
Moddy's bought in a manual.
Yeah, I've been to the photocopier. The Xerox.
Yeah.
And I've printed out. So Mandarin, Greek, Hindi, Arabic, Vietnamese, Spanish and Italian.
It's wonderful.
Are the languages that it's being broadcast in. And each game's different. So, for instance, Spanish is Melbourne, Fremantle.
Yep.
And it goes on. But And you can find that, sorry, that audio is available via the AFL app and on Match Centre on afl.com.au. If,
okay.
If any of those.
There's also, they're doing a few things to celebrate during the game. So the AFL umpires will be using, having the word umpire translated into one of six languages and printed on their shirts, probably just under where it says OPSM. And orange flags will be used by the AFL goal umpires at all matches signifying harmony.
Okay. Who decided that? Who said orange is harmony? Honestly.
Well, I do think maybe the Dalai Lama.
Maybe.
Right. Or the monks.
He's got a trump on the harmony
okay,
thing.
Some qualification there.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. Step back, Roger.
I think you're right.
The Dalai Lama said it. the Sharon match balls will have the word welcome printed in six different languages.
Well, who decided welcome?
Yeah,
the Dalai Lama? I don't know. There'll be a bilingual 50 on each of the 50-metre arcs at all matches across the round.
So hang on, what do you mean?
So you know the 50-metre line? Mm. They'll write it in or have the symbols in different...
In numbers.
Oh.
In
numbers. So not 5-0, you mean?
They'll have it in American and English.
English.
Yeah. Thousands of new fans and communities will experience live AFL action for the first time through the AFL My Passport program, where free tickets have been available and supported.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
I love it.
Lot going
There's
on.
There's also
on
some
the
extra steps being taken. I read today that they're launching a program to have six multicultural coaches, for clubs, amateur coaches. And the clubs that are doing that will be St Kilda, Essendon, GWS, Carlton, Brisbane and Sydney. Successful candidates coming from China, Africa, Vietnam, Middle Eastern backgrounds. So that sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
And they want that to grow as well. So yeah. they want it to be more than just this one-off thing. They want that to be a thing that in, 18 months' time or something, they are turning out, fully qualified coaches out into the various levels of football.
And hopefully
in
also
the
in many different areas of the AFL administration and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's great.
Yeah, and hopefully it also translate into the Women's League.
Yes, indeed.
Thumbs up.
Mm.
I read today on the AFL website, AFL is a fantastic way to bring people together and build awareness, empathy and understanding of diverse groups, as well as break down personal and social barriers. Let's work together to accept, embrace and celebrate each other's differences every day to create a safe, inclusive Australia for all.
And we all learn new things. I now know that orange represents harmony.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
And you're going to start wearing orange?
I will wear orange this weekend.
Pride match? No.
Not in harmony with my colour scheme. Okay. So the multicultural round, very exciting coming up this weekend. The other exciting thing going on that we try to talk about as much as possible on this show, being all chicks, is the Women's League. So a couple of things happened this week. One is... we're not sure if this was an article made out of a couple of comments, but Paul Roos could potentially be interested in coaching the Melbourne's women's team.
I'm concerned that may have been made from a random comment, because my understanding is his wife is American, speaking of multicultural round, and I believe that there was some talk by him of wanting to go over there and spend time with her and his family and her family. So I'm not sure whether there's substance to that.
Yeah, I agree. They did it after he retired from Sydney. That was one of the main reasons. And they went and lived in the States. And God knows what Melbourne or the AFL or whoever threw at him to get him back again.
Yeah.
Cash. Loads
but then,
of cash.
But you're right. I think that's the... But who knows? I mean, maybe he stays on as a mentor, or maybe he spends the first 6 months a year or something. I mean, it is only a few months, remember. It's only February. March, I think, the women's games.
That's true. Maybe he would fly in and out.
That's it, isn't it?
Or so maybe he just says,
full season.
Yeah, I'll stay for these couple of months just to get it off the ground for the first time. Perhaps it's that.
Beautiful. So we'll see what happens there. But I do love Melbourne have really pioneered the women's league in a major way. And I think the culture that they're creating where the men's teams and the women's team actually support each other. Daisy Pierce said the first text she ever got was from Nathan, the captain of the Melbourne team, to congratulate her before even her mum did. So there's a real kind of culture of them, both teams supporting each other.
That's wonderful. That's lovely.
Mm. There is another match on the 3rd of September, I think, and I'm pretty sure it's Bulldogs Melbourne. Betty might Email in and let us know. Yeah, she must be out tonight. Her number one fan.
Our one fan.
Yeah, so there's another opportunity to see the female league, as before it actually becomes professional next year.
Yeah. And Michelle Cohen, to Danae's delight, you might have seen that on our Chicks Talking Footy page on our Facebook page, which you're welcome to join. You can just search Chicks Talking Footy. We do love our community and stay in touch, so we'd love you to be a part of it. But Danae did post an article about Michelle Cohen. She was going to be the coach of the Melbourne women's team, but she's moved over to work with the Fremantle Dockers.
Good on her. I think it's half to do with her family situation as well, but it's also a fantastic opportunity for her, but also for Fremantle.
Yes.
So very exciting.
So is that the first poaching?
Yeah, well, it's an open poach at the moment, isn't it?
I think I said it a couple of weeks ago. I still find it lacking slightly in information about how it's all going to.
Yeah, I agree.
How it's all going to unfold the game? Like we know they get to write five names down for their, number one picks
or two marquee players
or two marquee players, and you think, well, what are they just writing them on little bits of paper and putting them in a hat? That's what it sounds like, It's sort of. Oh, I just want more info. I like, as you can tell,
you want
I
your
like,
stats.
I love a bit of a you stat want your stats, story.
You need to fill in your spreadsheet.
I want facts.
It's incomplete.
Give me facts, Gil.
I don't think they really know yet. I think they're a bit ad hoc and flying by the seat of their pants.
Use your Excel pivot tables and move the information around.
I don't know how to do that.
Oh,
maybe
you
could take over, Moddy.
I'll teach you.
Think?
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
hang on.
Great.
Sorry, got to go. Got to just ring the.
Running out the door. All right, in a moment, we're going to be reviewing round 16. Finally, we will have nine games to talk about.
Yay.
Next week, so it's all back on. I think we've still got a Thursday night game, though. But we'll talk.
Yeah, there was 4 weeks of Thursday nighters, I think.
Yeah, we're not fans of the Thursday night game,
nope.
Are we?
No.
But we'll be talking round 16 in just a moment here on Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
With Fiona Newton, Susanna?
Motti.
you can call her any of those things.
Yes,
and Rachel Hopkins, fellow Hawk supporter, and myself, Fiona Newton. We're going to be talking about round 16. We're looking forward to having 9 games back on. So, Rachel, what's happening this round?
Starting off with another Thursday game, and that is Port Adelaide. And Hawks.
We don't have a good record against Port Adelaide. They've won the last 3 out of 4 games against us.
And it's also at Adelaide Oval. Not good for Hawthorn.
But they are injured. They've got bad. Their defence is injured.
Well, it's going to be sad, though, because we're one whole game in front of everybody else and our percentage is so bad, we need to maintain it.
Yeah, we need to win by 200 points to really catch
well,
up.
Well, that would
we?
Also be good.
So anyway, Rachel's out with her family that tomorrow night, so I'm not sure who I'm watching with. If you're out there, will you watch with me, any Hawk supporters?
So look, who do you – well, I'll guess who I think is going to win then, really, because you two are just going to say Hawks, aren't you?
No, I actually think Port Adelaide.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we're worried.
I'm also a big fan of Port Adelaide. For the past 3 years, every year they're going to be in the grand final.
And I'm like, Rachel, they're not that good.
No, they're not. But there's a few players that have been a bit flat. And I think they're coming back. I think Boak played a really good game on the weekend. Mm. I think Robbie Gray is on his way back. I think Wingard can still lift more, but they're good players on the way back. Mm.
They're a good team. That's why every year I'm expecting them to be in the top four.
And the Hawks have got a couple of
their game style just kind of they're just one of those teams. Their game style really they're very fast runners and they seem to outplay us in that way. Mm. So we'll see what happens.
We come up from a rest though, so
we have had a bye.
Anyway, next game
you
is Friday.
Win. Sorry. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Friday is – this will be an interesting game.
Yeah, it is a very interesting game.
Cats v Swans.
There's a couple of games in this round and certainly going forward that have no bearing on the eight. Like the eight now is pretty well set.
Mm.
I mean, there would have to be some major disasters for Port to get in, and they're really the only one that can get in. And they're sitting in ninth position. So it's funny. In round, is it what are we? Round 15?
16.
The eight's all already.
Yeah, which I think is not good for the game.
No,
to be
they
honest.
Still. I mean,
anyone that's not a supporter with your game in the top eight, would you lose a bit of interest?
Hmm.
But this
not
one,
you, not you, Moddy.
No, not me. No, totally me. But Geelong versus Sydney, so second versus fourth.
See, even if you're not a supporter, I think that'd still be a really interesting game. Mm. There are still some really great games ahead, I think. But you're right. Maybe if you're a Collingwood or a Richmond supporter, you might not have the same passion as you would have had in round one.
And if you go, there's two games in this one that are, you know, Gold Coast versus Brisbane and Essendon versus Saints. Like, if you are only looking at them from success point of view.
Yeah, they're not going to be that interesting.
Anyway, I think Geelong
and Sydney, though, it affects the top four.
I think Sydney will destroy them.
Well, I'm not so sure. They weren't playing. I didn't think they played exceptionally well the last couple of weeks.
I thought Sydney played really well. I was surprised they didn't win.
You think Sydney will beat Geelong?
Yeah, for sure.
Skilled Stadium too.
Yeah, I'd
tip Geelong personally, but
I'm going Geelong too because that's a fairly bruising game they've just had, and then
that's true. That is a good point, and it's also at the Cattery, another good point.
Yeah,
but still. I'll go Sydney. Just be different.
Okay.
Arm wrestle. Next game is Collingwood GWS.
Yeah.
GWS will win that. That's at their.
They should. It's at their home, definitely.
Yeah, Suns, Lions, Suns.
See, this is what I mean.
Queensland Cup.
Oh,
there you go. We're trying to think of a cup for next round. And
now, what do they call it? They call
it. It is actually a thing.
Some name for it. Yeah. But I was thinking it could be called a game only a mother could love. Because really,
the game only a mother could love cup.
Yeah, the Southern states are not that up for it. Although if you are, you know, lonely and you turn it on, have a look at some of the Gold Coast players. They really are. They really are going to be.
They are. They're going to be great. And Brisbane as well. I hope they're. Next one is Bulldogs Richmond. Bulldogs will destroy. Melbourne Dockers.
Yeah, Melbourne.
Where's that being played?
Here.
TIO is the ground.
Is that Tasmania?
It could be Tasmania. Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. No, that'd be up in TIO. Isn't that Tredega Park or something? That's not in Alice, is it?
Yeah.
Let's
see who can Google it quickest.
We need you, Betty, although Betty's just texting. I'll talk about that in a moment. Carlton versus Adelaide.
Adelaide.
West Coast Kangaroos.
The game's in Darwin.
West Coast Kangaroos. West Coast?
That's a really interesting one.
I think I said Darwin. Do I get a point?
Yes, you do.
You get a fluke point. And then
hey.
And Essendon versus the Saints.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go
Essendon for you, Moddy.
Thank you. We'll see what happens. I'll go the Saints.
Betty message in Multicultural Week. The different games are being played: Mandarin, Port Adelaide, Hawthorn, Greek, Geelong, Swans, Hindi, GWS, Collingwood, and Essendon. Arabic, Gold Coast, Vietnamese, Western Bulldogs, Spanish, Melbourne versus Fremantle, Italian, Carlton versus Adelaide.
Well, there's talk about Port Adelaide playing in Shanghai next year, so that's
exciting. Yeah, that's why Koshy's gone for it.
Anyway, we must go and hand it over to the lovely gents from Hide and Seek. We'll be back next week on Chicks Talking Footy with the other girls.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.